Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Kristalina Evert, and today I'm going to be interviewing Danielle Bean on her beautiful book, Giving Thanks and Letting Go, Reflections on the Gift of Motherhood. Because let's face it, ladies, one day our children are going to leave. So what happens to a mother's heart when her children grow up and begin their own lives? How can we absorb the mix of emotions and anxiety, maybe excitement, grief, hope? There's a lot of things that go into that. And Danielle is just going to navigate us through those waters. So without further ado, let's get to Danielle Bean. Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Kristalina Evert, and we are here with the beautiful Danielle Bean. Thank you for being here with me on Women Made New.
Thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to talk with you, Kristalina.
No, I've known you for a while now, and you've really come out with some excellent products for women. And
thank you.
And this one specifically that we are going to get into today is not actually something I'm going through in my own life. And it's giving thanks and letting go and reflections on the gift of motherhood. But it's more for empty nesters, right? Mm-hmm. So was this book something that was hard to write? Because I've talked to actually a couple of friends and women that I know in my own life, even maybe family members, the struggles and the fear and the countdown that they've had of their children leaving. You know, it's a scary time and kind of an unknown period when you just know the direction God's giving you for years and years and years, right? And then all of a sudden it comes to a screeching halt. So tell me about that.
Yeah, that was kind of the impetus for me doing this in the first place. So my very first book I ever wrote was when I had 6 kids all under the age of 8 and I was pregnant. And, you know, it was like in the throes of it. So like that was very personal essays, kind of sharing reflections on that stage of motherhood. And then, you know, my family changed, my work changed, the products and the kinds of books that I was working on, like, you know, with Momnipotent that you were a part of. I was definitely working with women in the throes of things, but from a different perspective, less personal and more really just looking to connect with women and connect women with scripture and helpful ways, theology, the body, and all of that. And so I kind of moved away from that very personal sharing. But then when I picked up that first book, you know, about a year and a half ago, I was like, gosh, my life is so different. Like, I have so many different perspectives now that
it's like, who are you? Who was that woman? Right? Yeah.
Yes. It was such a funny experience. Still was, you know, all good and true, but still sort of felt foreign to me. Like, wow, I have something different to say right now. So this was, I went back to that personal writing inside of this book, which is a hard thing to do. It's a gut-wrenching thing to do, especially when you're going through emotional things like having kids leave home for the first time, you know, letting go of grown-up kids, letting go of what you thought your family life was going to look like in a lot of ways. It's different. And so this was very much about sharing on that personal level, because I found as I was going through that, and I'm still going through it, like I'm not an empty nester, I'm an emptying nester, like I'm in it right now, you know? And so I realized there wasn't a lot of people talking about it. There wasn't a lot that for people to connect in real ways about what that was like.
So my son, Colby, he became 14, right?
Yeah.
And literally overnight, he had this growth spurt where I am looking, my neck is like looking up at him, like, Colby, you need to do your chores and right? And it dawned on me, like, he is leaving soon. Like, this is going to fly, because now he's taller than me. He's bigger than, I mean, he wears a bigger shoe size than even my husband. I mean, he's like a grown man and he's 14, you know?
Right.
And I had this moment of, oh my gosh, my baby's not my baby anymore. Like, these lenses got taken off that day, and it even brings tears to my eyes that those baby lenses came off. And I started thinking about what you're going through. And I can't imagine the day when my son leaves and he's not coming back. I mean, it even makes me emotional right now talking about it. And I mean, I know this sounds crazy, but I don't even let my daughter go to the mailbox without a walkie-talkie and our huge dog. You know, I'm super protective, and I just can't imagine the clutches I have to let go of my kids to put them out in this monstrous world that is just scary right now. So how did you how did you even prepare yourself? Or did you? Or was this something that just, oh my gosh, this is happening right now?
Right. I think that's pretty much how it happens, right? Yeah. That's how it happens to each of us. Like, oh, this is happening to me. All of a sudden I woke up one day, I'm like, oh, that thing, like sending kids off to college, like that I watch other people do and think, oh, that must be so hard. Like all of a sudden it was me in this scene. And that's a surreal thing to come to terms with. But part of what I realized, Crystalina, through writing this and sharing these personal stories and kind of this process that I've been going through and working through and trying to make sense of and connect with God through it, I realized that I've been doing this all along. We moms, this is part of what we do, right? From the moment they're born, our motherhood is a series of letting goes, a series of letting go of control, recognizing that we're not in control, that our children belong to God first. And it might be, you know, that very first time your child goes to kindergarten or when they, you know, when they're grown up enough to, you know, be potty trained or whatever little milestone it is. We know that feeling of it stabs at your heart a little bit, just a little bit. You're saying like, okay, they're growing and they're changing. And of course, this is as it should be. Of course, it's a great blessing. It's a wonderful thing. But at the same time, how hard it is for us to let go in those ways and recognize we're not in control. So that by the time this is happening in big ways and really noticeable ways, I think we've had a little bit of practice at it. And, you know, if we're more aware of it, and this is what I've heard from younger moms who've read my book, is that it kind of helps them to be aware of the ways in which they're rehearsing for that big letting go that's in the future.
It makes me think of when my son, we're in our laundry room and he puts his little toddler hand on my hand, right? And he says, "No, Mom, I can do it," you know? Oh, and I remember that day, I was like, oh, okay, baby, you know? And I was just like, oh, you can't. Exactly, you can. But there was this moment of like, oh, he's growing up, you know? And I get it. And this book, I think, is such a gift to women to realize this time's coming. Even if you're all still in diapers and you're pregnant and you're drowning, it won't last forever. And to cherish maybe the chaos and the crazy that you live in right now, that I live in right now, everybody, you know, it's not going to stay this way. And then it also brought to my attention that, okay, you're going to be an empty nester one day, and women out there right now, maybe they're close to it, or growing into that, that it makes you think about, wow, you're left with you and your husband, and how much time, and I think about that now with everything going on in our lives, how much do you foster that relationship with your husband, that it's this deep, unbelievable, beautiful thing you've transformed it into all these years, that when they leave, it's just like, oh my gosh, we can have the second honeymoon. Like, that's what I'm thinking. Like, oh, it's second honeymoon time. It'll be
so
fun, but maybe it isn't. I don't know. Maybe it's like, wow, I really neglected you. This is going to be rough. I don't know. What do you have to say to that?
Yeah. Well, I think it's great that you're thinking about that. I mean, I love that you're thinking about that, because that's such an important thing. And it shows that you're making that relationship a priority, that it is a priority, that you're aware of it. And, you know, I did have an older mom friend in my life who did tell me that when I was younger and kind of struggling, because some of it's really hard and it feels like it's going to last like that forever. And she was telling me, don't neglect your relationship with your husband, because there's going to come a day where you're going to turn around and he's going to be all that you've got. And he was there before the kids. He'll be there after the kids. You need to recognize that. And let me tell you, that is actually one of the hugest blessings I've discovered unexpectedly in this stage of life that I'm at right now, where I've got some grown-up kids. I've got some kids who are even married and, you know, working and living on their own, some away at school, and then some who are still here under our roof. But more and more, as my kids have grown more independent, I've been able to be more focused on my marriage, on my relationship with Dan. We occasionally find ourselves alone at home together, and it's the most astonishing, wonderful thing. It's amazing. Never thought that day would come.
What? Silence? What's that? Hello, old friend, you know?
Yes.
So I completely get it.
Yeah. It's a total blessing. It really is. And just recognizing that, I think, is important, and especially in those busy years and where you're at right now. It's hard to keep your head there, and you're not able to focus on your relationship, perhaps in the way that you want to, or perhaps in the way that you once did. But just being aware of that, I think, is so helpful, so that when the time comes, you'll recognize what a gift it is. And many women at my stage of life have recognized, you know, trying to figure out, you know, we're all called to motherhood, and what that looks like shifts and changes at different stages stages in our lives, and God might very well be calling you at a later stage in your married life to nurture your marriage in ways that you weren't able to when you were nurturing in very real and physical and demanding ways a lot of little people.
So I was doing the calculation the other night because I'm like, okay, Lord, wait a minute. And I'm sitting there with my son playing on the floor, and I have been married 17 years. Mm-hmm. My oldest is 16, and we have 10 children. I have 2 babies in heaven, right?
Right.
And our 8 here. So I have been literally, since we had a 2-week honeymoon, and then when I got back, I was pregnant. Mm-hmm. I have literally almost 17 years and been dealing with pregnancies, diaper changes, mm-hmm. breastfeeding.
Yep.
And I have not had a child out of diapers in 16 years. Like, I've constantly had a baby. And it's crazy to think back on, like, it's been 17 years of this. Whoa. You know, I can't imagine, because I am so in that mode. Every fiber of my being is in mommy mode, right? Mm-hmm. That when that time comes of just slowly letting go, I find that just heart-wrenching. I'm not even close to it, you know?
It is.
That what can women do when they are up against that? What am I going to do? How am I going to live? My whole life's going to change, which is a mm-hmm. scary thing, but I think it's a beautiful adventure God's going to put you on, right? And he can do beautiful things with this next chapter.
For sure.
What things can you suggest to women?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's important for us to, first of all, like, let yourself feel all those feelings, all those conflicted feelings that you just described. They're
real. And that's okay. Those feelings are okay, by the way.
Absolutely. All of it. You know, like, I think back to when I was, you know, living in this almost, you know, chaos pretty much day to day, and very similar to you, just so many years where I felt like, even, you know, my own physical body didn't feel like my own, right? Because of the nonstop pregnancy, breastfeeding, toddler, you know, in your arms kind of thing going on. And what a strange thing it is to kind of phase into a time of life where, oh, this is me. Oh, hello, me. Like, you know, like, this is...
Hello,
you know,
old friend again.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, that's a time of transition. And there are going to be pros and cons, challenges and blessings, you know, joys and difficulties that are involved in every part of that. And it's okay to acknowledge that. That's what I found really important as I've been talking with other women since this book was released, who are coming to me and sharing their stories. And some of them are very conflicted. Some of them are like, I couldn't wait till my kids went out the door so that I could have some time for me, so that I could pursue these goals, so I could be enjoying my life with my husband. And all, you know, they're on fire and they're loving that. It's okay to feel that way. And it's okay to, you know, you don't have to feel guilty if you think it's a wonderful thing and it's a joyful thing and you're not crying those mommy tears at the college dorm. But the opposite is also true, that if it's a real challenge for you, if you are struggling, then it's okay to express that too. That's a real part of this experience. And if you're a jumbled mix of all of those things, which I am and I have been, that's great. You know what? That is part of the joy that God has planned for you right now, is experiencing all of those things. And we have so much to gain, Crystalina, from getting together with other women and just sharing in those real ways. Like, what is it like for you? And isn't that impossibly hard? And how did you ever get through that or this or that or the other thing? We have so much to learn from one another's experiences. We have so much to learn from the wisdom of women who've gone before us. I think there's so much that we women need to be reminded all the time, that we need to be connecting with one another.
Yes, and that you're not alone. Because mm-hmm. I promise you, every other woman before you and other women to come have no idea what they're doing when they have a baby. You are not the only one. And it's all just this new adventure for everyone. It's this whole new life process that we have to get used to, that God has given us. And I wish that we were, when God created life in us as women, it would have been unbelievable to have been downloaded with a manual, you know? Hello. It's unbelievable, the difficulties, and just like, you really don't know. But I do have to step back on that and say that God really did instill us with such an intuition. Like your mommy intuition is always so spot on. So maybe that's really honestly what I am referring to. And it's harder to listen than others at times, right? To that mommy intuition. But I would say maybe that is the manual God did give us. Just that, that small, still voice of just listen, you know? And it just always goes along those lines. Like I've said numerous times, that small, still voice, that intuition, and that that's God just calling us. I feel like it's the compass to heaven. Like it's the way to go. Just listen and we'll be right. We'll be good with God. Now, with all of this being said, I do want to speak to the women and the older women out there that feel like, what am I going to do? How am I going to do this? Like, God can't use me. I mean, my gosh, I've been a mother. Who knows when I'll be a grandmother, if I will be a grandmother. And my counselor, the first counselor that I went to years and years and years ago when I started this big healing process of mine, right? She was in her late, I believe, 50s. And she was such a huge rock in my healing process. And I asked her, what made you want to be a counselor? And she goes, you know, I had five kids and I always felt guilty and I wanted to go back to school. I always wanted to be a counselor and psychologist, but I knew it wasn't the time for that. And the season of my life was to be a mother and I gave everything to my kids. But the day, and she's like, I'm not kidding, Kristalina, the day that my last child walked out the door, I signed myself up for college. And for years, she went to college, she got her master's, and then she opened this unbelievable, beautiful practice in her 50s. And there I was sitting in it. And it was such an inspiration to me that God, you have seasons in your life and God is with you, I think, to teach women and to make you knowledgeable in different areas in your life, because you never know how he wants to use you. For such beautiful, great, different things in your life for the kingdom, right?
So true. So true. And I've experienced that myself in small ways where I'm able to focus on other projects and other things that just were not possible when I was at home with a ton of little kids and doing that thing daily, in day in and day out. And so many women that I know are that gift to me. They, I can see the beautiful ways that they practice motherhood that they never would have had time for, or the energy for, or never would have even thought of in their younger years, that God continues to use our feminine gifts of nurturing love, of self-giving love throughout our lifetimes. And just being open to what God might be calling to you to next can really be a beautiful way to navigate that kind of uncertainty that many of us feel during those ages and stages where we're transitioning in life.
So with those transitions, do you have, I don't know, just tips that maybe women that are struggling with this, right, that they can do today that will help them with this process, besides obviously reading your book?
Yes, definitely read the book. And if nothing else, you can commiserate, right? Because that's a lot of what I'm doing. The book isn't so much a how-to as here's what I'm going through, like you too, you know?
You're not alone book.
Yes, exactly. And so I would say that anybody who's really struggling, and it doesn't matter if you're struggling as a young mom or if you're struggling as an older mom, an emptying nester, an empty nester, that being rooted in prayer is so important, because part of what we struggle with, we women, at all these different transitions in our lives, is our identity, our core identity. We're wondering, like, who am I now? Like, I used to be the mom of the kindergartner. I used to be, you know, the pregnant mom, or I used to be, you know, whatever it is that we kind of identified ourselves with. When that's shifting and changing, it can feel uncomfortable and we can feel uncertain. Like, who am I now? I'm not the mom that my kids need, you know, at a moment's notice all day long. I'm not the, you know, the mother who's carrying the baby all the time everywhere I go. Who am I now? And what is God calling me to now? And the way you can discern that is inside of an intimate, rooted relationship with God, with your creator. And so make that time for daily prayer. And I know so many of us who are busy women and we say, like, oh, my life is a prayer, right? But I know more than anybody that that can be a big cop out, because, you know, if you're saying your whole life is a prayer and you're not spending time devoted in prayer, then something's missing. God's not going to have that opportunity to really connect with you and tell you who you are. You need to be rooted in your identity as a daughter of God the Father, and that's where everything else comes from. So you need to be sure in that first. And the way you do that is by having that daily devoted time where you are connecting with God and allowing Him to tell you who you are, allowing Him to guide that discernment through whatever path He's calling you toward.
Oh, because if we don't let Jesus tell us who we are, the world will tell us who we are. Our insecurities will tell us who we are. Right. The evil one will beat us up over the head telling us who we are, you know?
Right.
That if you have that strong relationship with Jesus, He will, ladies, tell you who you are in Him and how precious and unbelievable and amazing. And even when you feel beat down, He will literally lift you up and be like, no, I made you for this. I gave you the strength for this. You can do this, you know?
Right.
And before I lived without that relationship with Jesus, and the beat downs you get or you give yourself, you know, mentally or spiritually, you're just wanting to stay away and you're angry or frustrated or don't think God wants you in that hardship you're going through. And on the flip side, if anything, He wants to be with you in that hardship. He wants to teach us something and give us a gift and grace and those treasures He's given us. And we don't open them all at once, all those virtues and beautiful things God has given us. I think throughout our life and these stages and these seasons, there are different gifts He's given us that bloom in where He has us planted, right?
Right. And we can't anticipate what they would be. How many times have you been surprised by what God's called you to? You need to hear from Him what His plans are and allow yourself to be surprised.
I have 8 children and 2 babies in heaven. And every day I'm like, Lord, really? Are you kidding me? Like, what are you doing here?
How did this happen?
You know, because I don't feel like I do this well. I try and I manage and, you know, but it's so hard that you're just like, oh my gosh, am I failing as a mom? What can I do better? What am I going to? And I thought about this the other day. What am I going to tell myself, I wish I would have ..
Right.
when my kids do leave, right?
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, I should really have a meeting with myself and sit down and write that out so I can do those things now.
Right.
Because I don't want to have this litany of, I wish I would have, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, well, do those things now. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important for women. So what would you say, Danielle, to those women that literally live through their children? They don't have a life of their own.
Like, right.
And there is something to be said about, like, yes, you give your kids everything, you die to yourself. I mean, motherhood is a daily die to yourself as soon as your feet hit the floor. You know, that's just the way it goes. But those women that literally, like, vicariously live through their children, what do you say to those women? Because I have a couple of those in my life. You're going to have a hard time when
you
they
are.
Leave. So what do you have to say to those women?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's important to recognize, first of all, we all have that inclination, right? Like, we all.
Yes. To a certain extent, yes. I can see that in myself.
Yes. Yes. We all can understand.
I think
it
everyone
to some
can. You're right.
Right. But then there's the importance of balance and the importance of knowing who you are outside of that. Because, you know, I try to remind myself, because the times when it's hard for me to let go, like, oh my gosh, I'll never forget when we drove my third son who was going away to college. It was all the way down in Florida, 1500 miles away, left him there. I was all fine, right? And then, like, that night, like, alone with my husband, I completely fell apart. And I was really struggling with it. And I really, my husband was a great support to me during that time. And he was helping me to understand. And he was saying, you know, imagine if he never went to college, or if he never went out and started a life of his own, if he never launched in any way, like, that's not our goal, right? Like, this is our goal. We wanted him to do this. This is a good thing for him. And, you know, even children who aren't going away to college, you have goals for what their life is. And God has a plan for them that isn't living in your basement probably for the rest of their lives, right? So recognizing that, I think, was really helpful to me to not see it as a negative and to recognize the importance of fostering parts of my life that were not so tied into what they're doing, because God has a plan for my kids that, yes, I'm a part of, and I need to be an active part of it and a support to them in various ways throughout their lifetime, but it's theirs. It's their life. It's His plan for their life, and He has one for mine that is separate from that. So it's really important to recognize that and recognize that you know, it's a gift. It's an opportunity to play that supportive role in your kids' lives. And then so many blessings come back from that act of letting go, which is so hard to do, and just allowing them to, you know, get out into the world. And it's not all perfect. They're going to do some things you would rather they didn't. They're going to make choices you never would have wanted them to make. That sort of thing is also part of the deal at this age and stage of life. But recognizing what a gift it is to watch your children become the people that God means for them to be. What a privilege that is. What an honor to be a part of that process and to be able to support them through that.
If you are just tuning in, we are here talking with Danielle Bean about her book, Giving Thanks and Letting Go, and its reflections on the gift of motherhood. And it's basically for those empty nesters or soon to be empty nesters, which has some really beautiful and unbelievable advice. If you're going through that, or you will be going through that, and eventually if you're a mom, we all will be going through that, you know? So it's just beautiful. I love some of the different stories in here as well. I mean, you really put yourself out there in here. It's really beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was hard to do, but also a joy to do. And it's kind of like writing a memoir or a big long journal, right?
Yes, yes. And you put so much of yourself into it. I completely understand what that's like. So when you started going through this and you knew, okay, my children are leaving, but you still have youngers at home. You still have your children at home. How has that changed the way your outlook on motherhood towards them?
Yeah, it definitely has shifted it. You know, in a similar way to, you know, I felt like we have eight, and by the time my youngest Danny was born, I felt like, oh, I'm finally figuring this out. Like, you know, like this pregnancy, newborn situation.
Yes, and I get it now.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I realized each of our kids gets a different set of parents because they're—
It's so true, Danielle. Yeah. Oh my gosh. You hit the nail on the head right there.
Right. And it's so like, you know, that's part of God's plan too, though. And I've had to come to terms with that because, you know, I used to waste my time feeling guilty about, like, you know, we used to kind of mentally at least break up the kids, like the four oldest and the four youngest. And with the four youngest, I felt like, oh gosh, I'd remember sitting down just for long hours, just reading storybook after storybook and the time that I had. And yet we were a different family and our life was very different for these younger kids. And that wasn't going on quite so much, but I've had to remind myself that God knows what he's about. And it's not an accident. You know, none of our kids and where they are in your family and the kind of circumstances they're born into is an accident. It's part of God's plan for them. So you are exactly the mom that God wants for each of your kids, for their particular circumstances, in your particular circumstances at that age and stage of life. So don't waste your time worrying about, you know, the fact that you're different now or that you weren't focused on the right things or whatever. I mean, sure, we all need to give ourselves those reality checks sometimes. Like, you know, you don't need to be spending all your time on Instagram and ignoring your toddler in the kitchen. But, you know, having some of that balance, that sense of balance and perspective, I think is so helpful. And it's really helped me. You know, we've still got four who are home full time year round. I've got a college age daughter who's been here, you know, during the summertime, and other kids who are in and out. But realizing that the ones who are here in this time that we have is so fleeting, is so precious. And it's such a cliche, right? I remember the old ladies in the grocery store would stop me when I had this cart full of kids and tell me, it's all going to go by in an instant, you know, don't blink. And I was like, they're totally lying, right?
Yeah. Like, I don't believe you.
No, I do not believe you because my days are very, very long. Do you understand me? And that was true. And I think a phrase that I keep in mind, and I share this in the book, is that the days are long, but the years are short. And I think that is so true in my experience of motherhood. It's okay to acknowledge the fact that some days are long and some seasons and phases of our motherhood are challenging, are harder than others, and they do feel like they're going to last forever, but it's equally true that they don't, and that your life will shift and change, your family's going to grow, your circumstances are going to change, and, you know, being aware of that and the gift that that is as well, I think is equally important.
We are here again with Danielle Bean, and we are going to take a quick break with our friends at EWTN, and we will be right back. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Women Made New. I'm your host, Kristalina Evert, and I am interviewing the beautiful Danielle Bean today about her new book, Giving Thanks and Letting Go, their reflections on the gift of motherhood. For those empty nesters out there, or soon to be empty nesters, and it's not something I'm going through. I'm in the thick of the crazy of toddlers and diapers and babies and breastfeeding and pure chaos, you know? It's just organized chaos. But you, on the other hand, it's a completely different world. And you're your home, and you have, I call them olders and youngers, right? Yeah. We just split them that way. And you have your older children that some are leaving or they are already gone, and then you have your youngers. One thing that I do think about that really scares me and that I hope I'm just instilling in my children, which I think we do a pretty good job, but there's always that rejection too. And I always, and I do know from my own past experiences that there is a moment where you have to accept and take in your relationship with Jesus on your own, right? It's a really personal thing. And I really believe and I feel that Jesus never stops pursuing you. He never will stop, no matter where you're at, what you're doing, what's going on, no matter how deep you're in that darkness or brokenness or sin or whatever. He always was pursuing me in that, right? And it scares me because of what I did in my past. I'm thinking, my children, oh my gosh. You know, it's scary. It's really scary, especially now. It's like, well, back then I used to say it was scary. And it's like, no, 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 honey, it's really scary now. So what do you have to say to the moms where their kids don't have that really strong faith and maybe they're losing their faith or they're just going through the motions and, you know, what do you have to say about those fears that may be coming up in some women?
Yeah, I think that's very normal and it's a very common experience. And so many times, and you probably experienced this too, Kristalina, I'll give a talk somewhere and there'll be the mom who comes to me just like quietly on the side afterwards. And she's, it's almost like she's going to confession with me and telling me, you know, her college age daughter's not going to mass anymore or, you know, something along those lines. And she's so worried about it. And she feels all this guilt and shame and regret because, you know, we moms, we tend to do this. We think it's our job, like to, of course it is in some ways, right? We think it's our responsibility though, to instill the faith in our children. And we think it's solely our job, right? Like leave some room for the Holy Spirit, mom. Like you're, this is not your project. And there's always that temptation though, right? To look at our kids like, and I'm not saying people who are suffering with, you know, struggling with these situations are doing this, but there is that temptation. I know I felt it myself. To look at our kids like they're our little science fair projects that we're going to get a grade on at the end of the day, right? And we don't want to get a bad grade. And so
it's that control, right? It's that control. And also that protecting, loving, we don't want anything bad to happen. You don't want to protect them, but it's really that control that God wants us to just give over.
And I think
and there's just like,
there's absolutely no sense in wallowing in guilt and shame over it or blaming yourself for it. And, you know, maybe you've messed some things up. We've all messed some things up, right? God knows all about that. But there's no point in wallowing in that. And, but understand, like, you know, like it or not, your kids have free will. I've often wished they didn't, but that's the gift that God gave them. So they're not always guaranteed to make choices that you would choose for them. And you can do all, quote unquote, the right things, right? Because I hear from women all the time who like kind of, they don't use this language, but they seem to be looking for like, what's the magic formula, right? Like, how do I do it so that my kids will stay Catholic, so that my kids will be strong in their faith, so my kids will have a lifelong relationship with Jesus? We just, this is what we want for them, of course, and those are good things, but there's no guarantee. You can do, you can check off all the boxes, but they still have free will and they might choose wrongly, they might choose badly, and they might break your heart in 100 ways. So recognizing that is a really hard thing. It's really hard to come to terms with that. But once you do, it's very freeing to recognize this is not my responsibility. You know, this is what God is working. God is working in my child's life. God has a plan for their life. Jesus is pursuing them. Like you said, he never stops pursuing them. And that is ongoing. So recognizing that, I think, is enormously helpful. And sometimes, especially if they've already grown and gone and they're living their own lives, you can't do anything. And probably God might use somebody else in their lives to speak to them, but you absolutely have a wonderful opportunity to be a huge source of prayer support for them and just be praying for them, be that Saint Monica for them behind the scenes, you know, hidden around the corner. Mom is praying for you, whether they want you to or not, whether they recognize the value of it or not. Just the power of a praying mom is something that we really can't overstate.
I think it's a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, I know it from my own mom. Right?
Yes, right, Danielle? Exactly. You said it. From your own mother, you experienced it in a powerful way. And I know with my mother and the darkness I was in, and I know it was through her prayers and just talking to God constantly or fasting or whatever it is she was doing for me, it was powerful. And God hears mothers. God hears everybody. But I know it was my mother's prayers and just so much that was happening in my life that got me through a lot of really bad situations, and that darkness was finally pierced in my life.
What a gift.
So don't think you're helpless if your children leave and they're not living the right way and you're just like, I have failed completely.
Right.
Because I'm sure my mother has said that numerous times about me in the past. You know, I failed. You know, and I even say that now, oh my gosh, I'm failing, because you do. You feel just like you are failing sometimes, you know, but you're learning a lesson in that failure. Your children are learning a lesson in that failure, and that God can do something and make it beautiful.
Right.
You know, it's not always going to be this way, and it's always not going to be hard and difficult, and you feel like you're failing, but you'll look back on that and be like, wow, that happened, but I learned this, this, and this, and I'm stronger because of it, and so are my children.
Right.
You know, so it's not all bad, but they're just processes and things that we have to go through, because I've already gone through them. I mean, I do have a 16-year-old and I have a 10-month-old. Mm-hmm. So I'm on this massive spectrum here, right?
Those are different planets.
And then two dogs and a fish, and we had a guinea pig, and that's no longer. So it's it's like, wow.
A lot.
It's a little crazy. It is a lot. But at the same time, God will never give you more than you can handle, and he won't give your children more than they can handle. And for those moms that are going through this and they were like my mom, where they are, your children are out in the world and they're doing things that you just wish they weren't, and you worry for them, and it's just like, Lord, please help my children. That I know your fasting is huge, your prayers, your rosary, just maybe one day a week for your children. And even now I do this just for them and even their future and their future spouses, you know, just take a day to spiritually help your children by offering up maybe that cup of coffee, which I could never do that. I need the coffee in the morning at this point, right?
Yes.
But just that little thing, if it's not listening to whatever in the car, not watching TV that day, or literally maybe you go hardcore bread and water, I don't know, wherever you're at spiritually, you never know when God will use that grace in their life.
Oh.
Because it may not be today, and it could be 10 years from now, but you have it there for them, right?
Yes, and trust in that. Trust in the power of that. Trust in the gift that you've been given to play that role in their life. And, you know, you mentioned your mom's experience of watching you, and I know I've experienced that. I grew up in a family of nine, and we didn't always make the right choices. And I know that my mom was praying us through that. And as scary as it can be to reflect on your own experience as a teenager and young adult and decisions you made that maybe you shouldn't have and you wouldn't now and you never would want your kids to, as scary as that can be, I find it's also very encouraging, because I can know that this isn't the end of the story, that there's more to come inside of this story, even if you watch a young person making choices you don't want them to make. And I can know from myself that from the experience with my siblings too, that having been brought up with the faith and that understanding of right and wrong and just being rooted in the truth, right? You know, my dad was a philosophy professor, and he gave us that great gift of knowing that the truth exists, right? Which is something our world will deny, right? There is no right and wrong. There is no truth. And just having that, I think, was such a beautiful foundation for me. And it's kind of turned into a way that I'll fashion my prayer now, that like, Lord, like, please let my children choose rightly. But then I always add, even if they don't choose rightly, if they should choose wrongly, let them know they're choosing wrongly, because I know what that feels like. I do. Like, to know the difference, to know right from wrong, to choose the wrong thing anyway. But what a gift to know that, like that what you're doing is the wrong thing, right? Because that shows that God's grace is still working in your life and he's still calling you to him. And the story isn't over yet.
So you have the golden ticket. You said it earlier in our conversation. The golden ticket, everybody, is your kids have their free will and it's up to them to make the right or wrong decision, right?
Yeah.
And ever since, I will say this, ever since my children were wee, maybe like two, right? I just started like, oh, listen, or because they know right from wrong.
Right.
They do, especially at a young age, and they're so in tune with it. Oh, man, it's beautiful.
It is.
That you really can foster that, because one thing I did know back then, one day my children will leave me, and I always want them to know that they have Jesus.
Right.
Like, mommy may not always be around, but Jesus will be. And that maybe they're off at college, that they can go and they can sit and they can talk with Jesus. Right. Because then they're under that umbrella of his protection, and that he's going to never lead them astray. And then he always will get you out of bad situations. And I always have told my children, since they were really tiny, and I always listen to your heart, because God will let you know if you're in a situation or a dangerous situation and you need to leave, or you shouldn't be friends with this person, or someone's not doing something, or something's not right, what you're doing. He's trying to protect you from something. He's trying to help you. It's the compass. It's the compass to heaven, babies. I tell them that. I mean, it's your compass to heaven. Just listen. Your life will be so much easier. And I always tell them, every time I did not listen, I regretted it every time. Like, why put yourself through that?
Yeah.
If you just listen, you can skip every it time. Too. Yes, it makes sense. And you may not understand in the moment. And sometimes God really does ask us to trust in those moments. I mean, and really just jump sometimes with him. And I've had those moments and I never regretted doing it, even though it made no sense whatsoever, because everyone out in the world or everything in the world is telling me different. But my heart, where God is, he's telling you something maybe people don't understand or like or agree with, but you go with it. And then down the road, it makes perfect sense. So if you can equip your babies now with just listen, because even when they leave to school or they go to their friends, they finish my sentence. Listen to your heart, mom. You know, like, I know, mom. Listen, but I'm telling you what they do. And there's been a couple instances where they have come home from situations and like, mom, you know what? They were da 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 da. And I knew and I listened.
Aww.
And oh, it was so good. And I'm so glad I did. And wow. I was like, inside, I'm like bursting, like fireworks are going off, right? Because I'm like, yes,
perfect.
It's working, you know? Yes. Because they will always be in tune, because no matter how much I numb that voice, God was still pursuing me through it. No matter what drugs, what parties, wherever I tried to shut that up, it's still there, Danielle.
Right.
You hear it. Everybody does. You know right from wrong. He really does equip us with what we need, but we don't always want it.
Right.
Right.
And what a gift to give your kids that knowledge that God is there and that he's speaking to them and wanting to guide them on the right path. And it's a gift to give them that habit too, of tuning in to what their conscience might be pulling them toward.
And they may not always listen, and they are just going to embarrass you sometimes, and they are maybe just break your heart, but that's okay. We only can do our best, and God knows that. And as long as we listen as moms, right? We go back to that mommy intuition that we all have, because it's not always easy. And those moms that are struggling right now that are so far from this, just know you are not alone. So many moms right now are out there struggling and having a hard time and feeling like they're the only ones, or that you're failing, or you're not doing, you could do better if you just ...
Right.
It's just like, no, don't do the ... Just pray and ask Jesus in that moment of failure or in that moment of weakness, because man, those moments are powerful if you could just redirect them. And I know you've experienced that too in your life, Danielle.
Absolutely. And those are the moments. And that was part of the gift of writing this book, was that I was able to look back on some of those very moments where I did feel like an utter failure. And that's always what's in our hearts, right? But we this is so important, and we want to take it so seriously. We want to do all the right things. We want to have the best outcomes. And yet we have to recognize we're not in control of it. And it's inside of those moments where I messed up or I did fail, even in some big ways sometimes, that I can look back now and say, God was there with me in that. That was part of how he was calling me to recognize I'm not in control. I don't have all the answers. He was calling me to trust in him, to lean on him, to recognize how dependent each one of us is on him every moment of every day. It's true whether we recognize it or not, but what a gift when we can recognize that and that we can make that choice to trust in his goodness.
So the other night, right, you get so wrapped up in everything going on with your children and just the chores and this, and you have to do that and this and this. And there's always this like routine, right?
Yeah.
So as a mom, and we're talking to our kids leaving, it's like to make those moments with your children that you really are going to look back on and be like, oh yeah, we did do that. That was amazing. Like that was so much fun. And it'll be this family memory because all the chores are done and it was so late and I was so exhausted and I just was done, right? Yes, just done. And then 3 weeks prior to that day, I saw online this unbelievable like Nerf gun.
Okay.
And it was huge. It was like the biggest one you could ever buy, but it was on sale for some reason. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get that and I'm just going to surprise my kids one day. It's going to be awesome. And I'm going to just light them up. It'll be fun. You know, with the soft Nerf gun, just bullets. And that night I just got this grin on my face and I'm like, I know I'm tired, but I'm like, kids, let's have some fun. And we got the weapons bin out with like the Nerf gun and the swords and you know how it goes.
Yeah.
And they all got their weapon of choice, you know, with these Nerf guns and they dressed up and then it was kids against mom and dad. And the kids were like, oh, we're so going to get you, you know? And I'm like, uh-huh. And here I am with like this Nerf bazooka they have no idea about, right?
Oh, my gosh.
And they come out. We're like, we're counting down. And then they come out and they come out at us. And I just plop on our kitchen counter this massive gun. And I'm like, right? And the kids faces. That's it was so amazing. My four-year-old, who's huge and tall, he almost fell over like in shock. Like, what's going on? Like, they thought they were going to get us, you know? And I know my kids, when they are old and great, Danielle, they will look back on that night because we just had so much fun that night. Right. And I felt like a kid again. You know, it was fantastic. And they also know that mom and dad rule, which is amazing in our house. You know,
equally like, important to
whoa.
Know.
Yeah, it was just fun. But those moments,
right?
I know they'll look back on. It's like things like that that are just off the wall. Like, let's just have some just fun. Because all of that, everybody could use that, right?
Especially now.
Just having a good old time with your kids and just being a kid with them and not caring and entering into them. Because I look back on my olders that I am doing with my youngers now. Like you said, you're like a different mom.
Right.
That there's so many things I wish I would have done with them. And when they do leave, it's like, oh, your heart breaks. But to build those things up now and not get lost in the to-dos of the moment, right? Because when your children leave, we're looking at a lot of the bad, like, oh my gosh, they're going in the world. It's so scary. I'm worried. And we just have to let go and give it to God. Yes, but God created our children for a purpose and a plan. What has that been like for you to just, okay, Lord, here are my children. They're yours now.
Yeah. I mean, what a gift it is to kind of recognize the dividends of what you've invested. Because, you know, all this hard work that we're talking about, and yeah, we're not doing it perfectly, but we are, so many of us are doing a good job in, you know, pouring our very selves into our kids sacrificially day after day. And I love what you said about, you know, that your motherly instinct is spot on, and trust it, you know, trust the gift that it is. Because I think our culture and, you know, certainly like popular psychology and whatnot will kind of give us these scary thoughts like, oh, you're actually failing at things that you haven't even thought about yet that are important, right? But I think the truth is you're a better mom than you think. And we all need to be reminded of that encouraging thought that God made you for this job. He's equipped you for this job. You're the perfect person for this job for this kid at this point in his or her life. And then to recognize, you know, the moments like you described, it doesn't have to be complicated, right? And so I'm really appreciating the fact that even though I didn't do a perfect job and none of us does a perfect job, I can see those blessings coming back many times over, you know, as I'm letting go, as I'm allowing my kids to go into the world, and they're doing it whether I allow them or not, right? Let's face it. But as I'm letting go and learning that process, what a gift it is to see the blessing that they are in the world, to see the new ways, the surprising ways that our family grows. You know, for so many years, it was our family grew through another baby, right? Those years are over for us now, but our family's growing in different ways as our kids have made friends. We've grown greatly attached to a number of their friends in their lives. But then especially as, you know, two of my kids are married now, what a gift to realize, oh, you know, you mentioned praying for your kids' future spouses. Whatever age your kids are at, I really recommend doing that because that's something I have made a habit throughout my kids' lifetimes is being aware and talking to them about you're made for another. You're made for a vocation. So praying for their vocations, but then for those of them who will be married, praying for the person they're going to marry. And what a joy to actually meet the people, right, that I've been praying for when my children chose who they were going to marry. And what a joy to expand our family in these new and exciting ways and unanticipated ways and like learning new things. And our kids are experiencing things that I've never experienced, doing things in the world I've never done, I never would do. You know, they have gifts and they have talents and they have a calling that's unique. But what a joy to be a part of that process and to realize this is happening because I poured myself into that kid. I gave him, you know, the very best of myself, that the, you know, doing to the best of my ability, and to be able to recognize that this is paying off now in beautiful ways, in a way that God has planned, not just for me, but beyond the walls of our home and beyond our little family, for the world at large. Just the bigness of God, you come to see in a new way as your kids expand your horizons.
Oh, that's so well said. Wow. Just that was beautiful. It is so, it's so hard. And sometimes you feel like you can't even connect with your kids. You know, I felt that. I'm sure you have felt that. Right. And I know this sounds really just so may sound just stupid. It does. But if you want to reconnect with your children and they feel so far from you, universally, at least my children, no matter what, I can just pick up a ball and go outside and be like, hey, let's go play, just catch, like any ball. Right. It doesn't even matter. They would absolutely love it. Like, mom, you have a nice arm. Or the little ones are like, yay. You know, just that little bit of time. And everyone can just throw a ball around. And it just turns into this fun, just off the rocker thing sometimes, because it's not something you typically do. But, and also, if you don't know how to enter into your kids or play with your children, that was something I had a hard time with in the beginning. I didn't know how to play with my children. Just get a ball and just go back and forth. And the joy it brings, even in my 14-year-old or 16-year-old, they love it. You know,
simple.
I'm like, okay, let's just stop. Let's go play ball. Let's just go throw the ball a little bit and then we'll come back in and we can, let's just start up again. Okay.
I love
it. It's amazing what it can do.
Right.
But, and it's, there's so much beauty and you can talk while you're throwing or this or that, or, you know, it's just really good. And it's just one good little tip. And do you have one really quick tip that you can give moms right now that they can do in their lives that you wish you would have done with your olders that left?
Yeah. I mean, I think maybe being more intentional about speaking out loud, the things that you love and you value in each of your kids. I'm, you know, for sure, I've always, you know, valued encouraging them and complimenting them and just trying to get them on the right path. But I think sometimes we get so caught up in the busyness that we think like they already know that, right? But I think back now, and I'm more aware with my kids who are still at home, of the power of our positive words, the power we have to teach our children who they are by telling them the good things we notice about them, the strengths and the gifts that God has given to them, and putting in their minds that God has given you these gifts for a greater purpose. And he's calling you to something greater than yourself and to give yourself to another through these gifts that he's given you, these strengths that you have. And I think just being more intentional about speaking those things out loud, making that a regular habit, making that part of how you're relating to your kids on a regular basis.
That was beautifully said. Thank you so much for being here. I know you've been a blessing to me and I'm sure our listeners, and I will absolutely have you back on.
Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed talking with you, Crystalina.
I want to thank Danielle Bean again for being here on Women Made New. And if you would like to get her book, Giving Thanks and Letting Go, you can go to her website, CatholicMom.com. And if you'd like to know more about my website and my ministry, you can go to WomenMadeNew.com or ChastityProject.com. And for all things Catholic and downloading the EWTN app or the EWTN website. We definitely use the EWTN app here in the Everett home, and it is absolutely fantastic. So I would highly encourage you to get that. And then you have it everywhere on your phone. If you need mass, adoration, prayers, whatever it is, you can go to, again, EWTN.com. Thanks for joining me, everyone, and I look forward to next week.